Take your Bibles with me, please, this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 5 and 6, extremely familiar portion of Scripture. And even if given the reference, you don't think of what it is, when I start to quote it, you'll say, "Oh yeah, I know that verse of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." What a wonderful promise from God's Word. And along with that, what wonderful instruction. And as you look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, really all of these promises are the same. It's just that they look at life from different perspectives, different things about them. I was mentioning to some folks this morning when we were enjoying coffee and donuts that I got involved in a project this week. My son-in-law, bless his heart, pointed out a few weeks ago that the corner of my camper wasn't doing well and I needed to fix it. And I thought, well, I know exactly what I'll do. I'm a welder. I can go in there and there's a metal bracket and I can do a little something and I'll have this all fixed. So I started tearing into it and that back corner of the camper, Ed, was just all rotted. And the further I dug into it, the more I found. I went 4 feet this way, and I went 2 feet this way, and I went a couple feet this way, and just started pulling out all this rotten material. And I have no idea why I'm telling you that. It just has absolutely avoided me. We look at life from different perspectives, you know. And everywhere I looked there was something else going wrong, you know. And I just had to walk through it and fix it. And the point is that life is made up of many dynamics. And you really need to get a handle on them all. And Proverbs 3 helps us do that. Remember the old barn stools, you know? I heard that some guys used to milk cows on a two-legged stool. Kind of hard to balance on that. We always had, and some of you don't understand this. Some of you don't even know that milk comes from a cow. That's true in today's world. But it used to be that, and I'm old enough that I went out and I worked in the barn milking cows by hand. Juanita, you knew all about that, you know. But a three-legged stool was a lot more supportive. And you watch the advertisement on TV, I'm sure that's done by Magna PI. Who was that guy? Now I'm showing my age. Tom Selleck. A four-legged chair is more solid than a three-legged stool, you know, that kind of thing, encouraging you to sell your house to the bankers while you're still alive and get some of the money out of it. In life, there are several things that are essential to supporting it well. And as you look at Proverbs chapter 3, God is giving us the blessings of life, but saying that they are facilitated in our accepting these responsibilities and these disciplines, and in that, He will bless and care for us. But we won't have that blessing and care for God if we are not putting all the legs on the stool. I was thinking my way through this morning, and these dynamics of life are things that, you know, we as preachers search for a way to illustrate it. And I was thinking about the swing out of camp. They put a new swing out there, and it's on the side of the hill. And they've got a little message underneath the platform that the kids stand on. It says, leap of faith. And you get up there, you know, you stand down here and look at it and you say, nothing to it. Then you go up there and stand on that platform and look down there. Whoa. And there's, thankfully now there's a nice sand pit underneath there, you know. But if you just get up there and jump, you're in trouble. But if you hang on to the rope and jump, you're going to have a very pleasant trip. And these promises of God are the rope that we hang on to. There is something very specific in trusting in God. It means we accept His commandments and we live by His commandments. And in accepting and living by those, He promises to care for us. So it is so very, very important to acknowledge that reality. Now, in a few weeks past, we went through the first four verses of Proverbs chapter 3. These are our couplets. And the first it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And the issue is there, the morality and standards of a Christian life. We are obligated to live by the morality and the standards of what this book tells us. And then the promise given us there is, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. A life that's lived by the moral standards of the Bible is, the promise is that accompanies that is long life and a peaceful life. I look around at folks that have been taught and know what's right morally and standard-wise for our lives as God's people and just don't obey it. And their lives just come apart. I was talking with Charlotte about it the other night. I ran into this person that was raised here at Bethel Baptist Church and has just turned her back on everything that she has learned. What a mess. What a mess. I was walking out of McDonald's yesterday morning, and she was sitting there in a car and spoke to me. She said, oh, hi, Pastor David. I looked at her. Who are you? I didn't even recognize her. So deteriorated as a young woman simply because she's just turned her back on the things that are right and just. So, as we talk about trust in the Lord, it's talking about trusting in things that are very substantial. It's not like, I'm going to come over here and I'm going to muster up in my heart all kinds of trust in God and things will go well. No! Trust in God is a matter of getting into the Bible, finding out what He expects of me, and then grabbing a hold of that rope and hanging on to it. And don't expect the blessing of God if you're not going to trust in Him the way He intends us to trust in Him. The next thing is Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. And that speaks of our relationships, where it says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. It is important for us to learn from the Bible how to relate to one another. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Learn how to manage your relationships in this world in a godly way. And the promise is, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and men. Sometimes we look at things like David in the Old Testament or Joseph in the Old Testament and say, boy, I'd like to have the opportunities that Joseph had. But look how he behaved himself in very uncomfortable situations. His brothers hated him, sold him into slavery. He could have had a bad attitude, but he didn't. He just was the man he should be, and though he was sold as a slave, he said, I'm going to be the best slave there ever was. And as a result, he rose to the top of that household. He was in charge of everything. And he got falsely accused and thrown into prison. If it had been me, I think I would have just said, nuts the whole thing. I'm just going to go ahead and be as ornery and miserable as I want to because that's the way I'm being treated anyway. But not Joseph. Joseph said, if I'm in prison, I'm going to be the best prisoner there ever was. And pretty soon, he rose to the top of that prison. And ultimately, he was not next to the top, but he was the top of Egypt. Pharaoh didn't even know what was under his control. Pharaoh just said, take the country and do what you need to do with it. Make it yours. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Follow God. Be faithful in your relationships. And more opportunities and things like that will present themselves to you. It's something that we earn as we follow the truth of God's word. Now, here in verse 5 and 6, I want to give this title to it, The Gift of a Satisfying Life. Finding our place in life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. Now, in anticipation of this, last week we looked at Psalm 139, and we find out how specifically and fearfully and wonderfully made we are. And hold your place here in Proverbs 3, and turn back to Psalm 139. I want to show you just one verse of Scripture from that portion of Scripture. Psalm 139, verse 24. Well, let's go to verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, I'm picking on that because, get that, lead me in the way everlasting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths. I think as you compare Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 with Psalm 139, we come to the conclusion that God has a wonderful, satisfying plan for your life. And as you trust in Him, He will direct you through life in a way that is just wonderfully satisfying and productive. Becky, you were here last week, and I shared your favorite portion of Scripture with the folks. It's Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where the Lord makes this observation. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Betty, aren't you glad that God had Montana in your future? Don't you like it out here? God just gave you a heart to enjoy this place. However, I was talking to my daughter, who lives out in Indiana. Ugh. And she's been in Montana, she's been in Wisconsin, and now she's in Indiana. And she was saying to me on the phone last night, Dad, this place is just beautiful. I wish the people in Montana could see it. She said, right across the street is a cornfield. And it just looks like the ocean as the wind is blowing through it. You know. And
You know, when God made Melissa, He knew where she was going, and He put in her heart the things that would bring her joy in those places. The Scripture says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about God? That He just delights in making you happy? There's a verse that I love to share this. The Lord delighteth in the fatness of His saints. Isn't that wonderful? It's becoming more precious to me as the years go on. But I don't think it's literally talking about our waist size. And incidentally, we're all too conscious about that. I really believe we're all too conscious. We live in a world that is just crazy. Remember when Twiggy showed up? Ray, you're old enough to remember when Twiggy showed up. I mean, here's this girl who is skin and bones, and all of a sudden, she becomes a model of what every woman has to be. How absolutely crazy is that? When it says, the Lord delighteth in the fatness of His saint, He says, I just delight it when my folks are happy and filled with all the goodness of life. He takes pleasure in that. But He doesn't give it to us without the requirements that are necessary for it. And that's that rope that we hang on to. It's the promises of God. It's the morality of the Bible. It's the integrity of life that is required as God's servants. And in the pursuit of those things, God delights in giving us a wonderful, wonderful life. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We looked at this verse with respect to it. For bodily exercise profiteth little. And I really think, my grandson, or my granddaughter actually, gave me a little riddle the other day about the bigger family. There was daddy bigger and mommy bigger and baby bigger. Which was the biggest? Well, baby bigger, because the baby bigger was a little bigger. I can't say it as well as my granddaughter did. Well, bodily exercise profiteth a little. There are some benefits in that. However, godliness. You understand what godliness is? That's behaving ourselves and walking by Bible standards and rules. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and the life that is to come. What a blessing it is to know that. So, what's the counsel that we have for us? Come with me again to the third chapter of Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. I want to take you to Psalm 119 this morning and show you how I think that works out in practical life experiences. Turn with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to start at verse 41. Notice the psalmist, this is a prayer, okay? He's talking to God. He says, let thy mercies come also upon me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Notice what it says. According to thy word. Well, what's the psalmist saying? He says, I've read your word. I've understood what it said. And I'm trusting it. You see, there's something substantive about this. It's not some kind of subjective trust where if I just have enough faith and trust in God, everything will be okay. No. Because my faith and my trust is according to your word. I am living and doing those things that your word requires. Now bring to me your salvation. Verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for, get this, I trust in thy word. And that trusting in his word is so important. Because I've read it. I've understood it. I know what it says. I've implemented it in my life. And my trust in you is characterized by my obedience to what you have told me. Verse 42. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So it says, let me hang on to your word. Let me keep it faithfully. Verse 44. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. Now notice what he says in verse 45. I will walk at liberty. Why? For I seek thy precepts. You see, there is something very, I keep using this word, and I don't know what other word. Well, I can use the word concrete. There's something very concrete and definable about trusting in God. Let me put it to you in the context of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man, you know it, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, that has got to have some practical application in your life. So I'm not going to walk in the counsel of wicked, sinful people. I'm going to walk in the counsel of God's word. I'm going to do what it says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now the next thing is, nor standeth in the way of sinners. That's biblical separation. I am going to make people who know and love God and obey Him my friends. I'm not going to go live among ungodly people. You live among ungodly people, their habits and their consequences will rub off on you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You see how definitive that is? It's not. I had a guy tell me one day, I just love the Lord. Oh? How do you demonstrate that? Well, it's in here. I love him. But here in this psalm, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Got some young people down here today. And I just want to urge you, kids, this is what it's all about. You've got to know and obey God's word. And God commits himself to you to give his blessing in that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, the correlative to that, if that's right, or the antithesis of that is this, lean not unto thine own understanding. You're going to have a battle inside when you come to the dictates of God's word and your flesh saying, I don't want to do that. That ain't going to be fun. I'm never going to get what I want if I take this path. You've got to be intuitive enough and alert enough mentally to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to rest in my own understanding. And the way I look at things, I'm going to commit myself to looking at things the way God looks at them. That's a faith situation. on the 27th of August, 1967, I decided to do that. And to say, it's not what I want and what I think is good. I'm going to follow, and I praise the Lord, I could say I'm going to follow the way I was raised. Because I was raised in a good church just like this one. And I'm so grateful for that decision. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We get so wrapped up in saying, how do I choose my path? Well, should I go this way, or should I go this way, or should I go this way? And I believe that God has a path, a predestined and providential path for our lives. I really believe that, according to Psalm 139. But I don't think he says, dare you try to find it. He tells us very simply how to find it. In all thy ways acknowledge him. I guarantee you, part of finding the way to God's chosen plan for your life is, number one, to be a part of God's family. In all your ways acknowledge him. I'm going to make God's family my family. It's decisions like that. In all thy ways acknowledge him. At work, when the guys are saying, hey, come on, we're going to go out tonight and, you know, raise whatever. No, that's not what God wants of me. I'm going to acknowledge God. I'm going to go home and take care of my kids. In all thy ways acknowledge... Isn't that really simple? In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he'll direct your paths. It's not that I have to look out there and discern where I'm going and all that and try to figure out how to get there. It's right here, right now. I'm going to do and be what God wants me to do and be what God wants me to be. And in doing that, I'm going to end up where he wants me. He will direct me there. And that place will be delightfully satisfying. Aren't you glad that people are delightfully satisfied being in Iowa? They're raising our beef and corn. People in Wisconsin are raising our peas and carrots and beans. God has made people for all kinds of different places, and he's made you for a place. And you will be delighted and productive and fruitful there. And in order to get there, you just need to love and trust him. Walk by his word day by day. Such a simple reality. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have a wonderful, satisfying plan for our lives. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have to worry about whether or not we find that. All we have to do is day by day obey your word and acknowledge you in all of our choices, and you will direct our paths. Lord, you've made it simple for us. And I acknowledge that certainly we need it to be simple if we're going to gain it. We thank you, Father, that you have promised to care for us in all these matters. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.